Hey, Loco sports fans, when you hear Horizon Rehabilitation and Sports Medicine, think advanced, local, and specialized therapy care. The team at Horizon prides themselves on the diversity of their 30-plus specialized treatment programs, including advanced sports medicine and orthopedic care, as they offer the area's only Alter-G treadmill and have an indoor heated resistance therapy pool. For nearly 15 years, Horizon's outpatient, physical, occupational, and sports medicine programs have been addressing the needs of athletes, weekend warriors, and their fans. At any level, at any age or stage, their specialized therapists and athletic trainers are ready to get you back in the game. Visit horizonrehabilitation.com for more information or call 843-671-REHAB. That's 843-671-REHAB. Horizon Rehabilitation and Sports Medicine, proud sponsors of LocoSports.com. Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. I'm your host, Loco Sports founder Justin Jarrett, and I'm joined as always by Wes Kerr and Carlo Peruzza, and more of the same guys. Another week of social distancing rolls on. Still no live sports to talk about. No big breaking news this week. So I guess we'll start the way we have throughout this ordeal and just kind of touch base with one another and, discuss what we've been up to and how we're keeping sports in our life. So how are you guys doing, Carlo, Wes? You guys holding up all right?
Yeah, we're still in the doldrums. Still, as you said, no live sports, but we've still been able to exercise. I've been doing some biking, a great way to get outside and get some quick exercise in. Also been doing some workouts, starting to do some lifting weights in the basement, just instead of having to go to the gym. Gyms have reopened some places around the country, but I wouldn't think it's very much safe right now to go to the gym at this point in time. But I've been working out, lifting some weights, doing some other workouts around the house, getting that stuff done. And, you know, I've also been looking at, like, when I've been watching stuff on Netflix, on old movies, and I just feel like I see people so close to each other and going out, it's like, it's so foreign these days. It's been so long since we've covered like live events, since I've had like a write-up of a live game to report on, and now when I see clips of people like so close to each other, it just seems unnatural now, just because we're used to the social distancing lifestyle. I feel like it's a new era here in our world.
I mean, I've just been doing pretty much the same things that I have been doing past a month or 2 months now. Wow, this is just going crazy. But homework, running, bike riding, trying to stay inside as much as I can. And literally I have lost track of the days. There's no difference between a weekend and a weekday anymore for me. I go to sleep at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and wake up at noon. So after coming off of this, my sleeping schedule, something's going to have to be adjusted to get back to real life.
No question. Well, I've been staying busy this week with some Loco Strong t-shirt deliveries, which exciting news that we've started delivering those Hilton Head and Bluffton, and then deliveries beginning in Beaufort as we speak. Actually, one of my friends who's helping out with those over in Beaufort was just trying to call me. So I think they're starting to deliver those over in Beaufort. So if you haven't seen yours yet, you'll be getting them in the next couple of days. We did go past the $6,000 mark, and then we actually had a few extra transfers left over. So we opened up the orders to try to sell through those, and they sold about 80 in about a 12-hour span. So people are excited about the Loco Strong shirts. They look phenomenal. If you haven't gotten yours yet, it looks really nice. It's a comfortable, nice tri-blend shirt. Couldn't be happier with how they turned out, and I couldn't be happier with how the community has rallied around this and raised now almost $7,000 for local charities. Just phenomenal. So thankful to the media outlets that covered it and helped us get publicity for it, and to everyone, of course, who ordered the shirts and all the charities who have helped promote it. And are going to benefit. It's been fantastic. It's been a great way to spend our time being productive, and I've really enjoyed getting out and doing the deliveries. I've seen a lot of my friends from a distance and been able to chat with them. A couple of my baseball players, in fact, you know, their families ordered. So it's been really nice to get out and see faces and drive around town, and then to see the social media posts coming in and the emails and the photos of people wearing their shirts. And the packaging from Pockets Full of Sunshine was really the big kicker, I think. It's really hitting people in the, you know, pulling the heartstrings and hitting them in the feels, because the folks at Pockets spent, you know, a lot of their days cooped up here recently and need something productive to do to spend their time, and they were able to decorate the bags, color or paint or however they chose to decorate the labels, and it really was just an awesome added touch that every time I drop off a bag at somebody's door, I know that it's going to brighten their day when they open their door and see it. So it's been phenomenal to you know, oversee this project, and so thankful to everybody who's helped out.
Absolutely. Thank you to all who have gone loco strong and support our community. Such an amazing feeling to support our island in these times of need. So thank you again to everyone joining the cause. And thank you as well, as you said, to all those great people at Pockets Full of Sunshine. And I have known Sally Barfamio, one of the special needs adults, for a long time. I actually went to school together with her. And I remember special needs kids joined us for gym class. And it was always a treat to be around Sally. She was always happy, always smiling and clapping her hands. And she's still such a positive individual. So a big thank you to Sally and all those special needs people helping us out. And speaking of which, I want to do a little shout out to our Loco Sports intern, Brooke Simons, who was recently named a Hilton Head Island Community Hero.
But heck, of course, yeah.
During this quarantine period, these adults with special needs, they're not able to participate in their regular activities that they do. So, and Brooke came up with the idea. She wanted to handwrite letters to these special people to try to keep in touch. And so now she became pen pals with all these special friends. So over 100 letters have been written. And in addition to that, she has worked in the Front Steps Project. She's taken pictures of families on their front porches to brighten spirits during these tough times. And she's already taken over 60 just this past month. And she's also collected donations for Pockets Full of Sunshine as well on top of that. So congratulations and thank you to Brooke Simons.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's also been helping her mother, Elise, who has really helped us head up this Loco Strong project. So she's just as busy as always. Brooke always finds a way to fill up her time in a productive way. And that's why she's such an amazing intern for us and just a great asset to the community. So good call on that, Wes. Nice shout out to Brooke. She's doing good stuff out there. And we're proud to have her as part of the Loco team. All right, well, let's transition into a little bit of sports. We don't have any live sports to talk about, but we are about ready, now that we're wrapping up this T-shirt project, to start focusing on picking our all-Loco basketball and wrestling teams. I have the wrestling team pretty well sketched out, a couple of tough decisions to make. The basketball team, Wes and I have started working on putting together our thoughts on that and pulled those together. So hopefully in the next week or two, we'll be able to roll that out. We do need some sponsor support for that. So if you happen to be listening and you're a business owner or in position to do any kind of sponsorship, certainly we'd love to hear from you because we do need some sponsors to support this All Loco team. But yeah, with that in mind, you know, let's look back on that winter season and just talk about maybe some of our highlights of the season, our favorite moments from covering the basketball and the wrestling seasons, particularly basketball. I think I did most of the wrestling coverage, so you guys might not have a ton of input on that. But as far as basketball, what were some of your highlights, some of the favorite moments or favorite themes from this basketball season?
Well, I had such a blast covering basketball this winter, and I think my favorite memory was the state championship that we went to in Sumter. Buford Academy girls breaking through with their first title, a dominant victory over Dorchester, and then Hilton Head Christian Academy girls winning a thriller against Spartanburg. That was a blowout that quickly turned into a heck of a fight in the second half, and seeing the reaction live of both winning was priceless. Kenny Conroy hugging his girls, Dior Shelton's excitement. I remember that picture of her face after winning the title. That was priceless. And then interviewing Amelia Hubel from BA and Skylar Smith for Hilton Head Christian, and feeling the emotion of what it took to achieve all those dreams. Skylar's interview was probably the most emotional one I've ever done. I mean, every kid dreams of hitting a game-winning shot in their driveway, but that was something even more meaningful for her, and just feeling the excitement around those two in the locker rooms after they finished the job. A couple other memories of the season, Tyrone Callaway going off. I saw him for two different games where he scored 38 points at home. He did it against JP2, and then he did it again against their rivals, Hilton Head Island Christian Academy. And it seemed that, like, some points they just kept feeding the ball, and didn't matter what the defense tried to do. He burned them every which way. And so, and then speaking of Tyrone Callaway, the duel against Bethesda late in the season at Hilton Head Prep, that was a heck of a game, back and forth. Dolphins ended up falling, losing by one. But, I mean, the student section was into it. It was senior night. They honored all the seniors. A brilliant display of high school basketball by some excellent teams. And, you know, just a shame they did not meet in the playoffs this year. And finally, the Holiday Classic back in December, one of the highlights of the basketball calendar every year, and seeing some outstanding teams and players come through all over the country. We have some awesome players here in the Loco, but just seeing the talent elsewhere, it's great to see. I mean, you just never know if the guy you see high flying over the competition or shooting the lights out will be the next Steph Curry, the next Trevor Booker, or the next AJ Green, because those three are all alumni of the Seahawk Holiday Classic. And, you know, really makes watching these guys been more exciting, just taking out a couple days right before Christmas and spend a few hours watching high quality high school basketball. Nothing like it.
Yeah, it's a great tournament every year. Carlo, any of your highlights from basketball season this year?
Yeah, I have a bunch. Honestly, I had a lot of fun covering basketball this season, just like Wes. Playoff ball, always amazing. Obviously, we went to that state championship game in Columbia, the Whale Branch Warriors. They weren't able to get it done, but just being in the Colonial Life Arena, and for me, being able to shoot highlights and film highlights on the same court where some of the greatest collegiate players and some of the biggest stars in the NBA have played, you know, is pretty cool. Just some great playoff runs. I really enjoyed covering the May River Girls. Coach Jermaine and them just had a wonderful playoff run, showed a lot of heart in this playoffs, and they were a lot of fun to cover. But even in addition to playoffs, I just moments stick out for me from the regular season. JP2, whenever I would cover JP2, CJ Knight, this kid is probably the most fired up kid, I think, in all of the Loco. I mean, if his team's winning or they score, they do something big, I mean, this kid goes absolutely crazy, and it's hilarious to watch. I mean, it's pretty cool. I don't think I've ever had before the games. I like to go, and while they're doing their warm-ups, I like to bring my camera out there, and I like to get some close-up shots. CJ Knight just came right up to me and was like, "What's up, bro?" and just dapped me up. I was like, "Okay." I like that. I was like, "We need more. This is what we need more. We need more CJ Knight here." I thought that was pretty funny. But also, I was at Floyd Hargrove, which I guess Wes will be talking to us a little bit here. His 1,000th point. That was really cool. That was a fun moment. So, yeah, besides playoffs, just some great things have happened. And what's great is, like, you don't even know, like, just things just pop off randomly whenever you're covering these sports. It's really never a dull moment. And always will look back at the season for sure. A lot of memories made covering basketball.
Yeah, I'll echo those. Obviously, the state championships are very meaningful and memorable. I would add the Whale Branch Oceanside Collegiate game, the last home game they played, the lower state semifinals. That was just a phenomenal atmosphere. And just to see the crowd and the players celebrating together after that win and see what it meant to the Seabrook community was just awesome. So that one stands out to me. And then a couple of quirky ones involving the Hilton Head High girls. You know, you had the game against Wade Hampton where they lost on a play where Wade Hampton had six players on the court.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that was an interesting one. And then they also had the playoff game against Colleton County where they or the last game of the regular season against Colleton County where they tried to slow it down. And what was the final of that one, Wes?
7-2 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Both teams were in single digits, I know. So that one I will never forget, you know, that as being a memorable thing. That's one of those that 20 years from now when you're talking to some rookie sports writer, you'll tell him about the time that happened and he probably won't believe it because there'll probably be a shot clock in high school basketball by then. But you know, that's one of the great things about, you know, high school sports, local sports that I love is, you know, you just never know what you're going to see. Every year we see something that you could never predict, and it's so great, and it's great to get to know these kids and interact with them and then get to know them on social media a little bit. And then as you guys will learn as you go on in your careers in sports journalism, if you stick around the same place long enough, you get to know those people as adults too. You cover them as kids and 10 years later you'll look back and or look up and realize a kid you covered is standing in front of you with their kids, and you're talking to them, and that's a really cool thing, and something that I love about, you know, my profession and the path I've chosen, and very fortunate to be able to be in that situation. So that's the thing that I'll really remember, is just all these kids that we covered this year and what it meant to them, and getting to see them, you know, excel and grow as people out there on the court. So it was a great season. Lots of great players in this area, and in fact, we've got interviews lined up with quite a few of them. We've talked a lot about the lost senior season, and we've got some of those folks lined up for more interviews this week. You guys caught up with Floyd Hargrove from Hilton Head Christian Academy, Dean Seelbach from Hilton Head High School, and then the twin duo of Emma and Olivia Peluso from May River High School. So we got the whole county, or the whole southern part of the county covered here. We'll have to get some Buford in there next week, but three different schools covered. Guys, tell us a little bit about the interviews from this week.
Absolutely. We'll start with Floyd Hargrove, and three-sport athlete at Hilton Head Christian Academy, talented wide receiver who was at some points overshadowed by others at HHCA, had to go through an injury at the start of the season, but fought back through that and ended up making some big plays, had an unforgettable state championship game in the thriller against Trinity Burns, catching three touchdown passes. A special feeling to see that guy succeed, waiting for his moment, and eventually he rose up when his name was called on the football field in that final game, and had an outstanding basketball career as well, scored over 1,000 points, and an excellent guard who can light up the scoreboard. He led the team in points per game, and Carlo, you were there. You said you were there when he hit 1,000 on that three-pointer, and I can't remember a bigger celebration when a guy hit 1,000 points. I mean, the student section was completely filled up, and they all knew when he was getting close to that milestone. Took until the fourth quarter, but when he hit that three, that nearly took the roof off the building. And so Floyd, also a baseball player for Hilton Head Christian, and so we spoke to him about his career as an Eagle, his relationship with his brother, his older brother, a great bond with him, and then his thoughts on his greatest basketball idol, Kobe Bryant. All right, now let's hear from Floyd Hargrove on the Loco Lowdown Podcast. All right, I'm now joined on the podcast with Hilton Head Christian Academy senior star Floyd Hargrove. Floyd, I hope you're doing well, and thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. No problem. Of course.
Well, first, I want to hear, what was your favorite sport growing up? Was it always football? And who was your favorite player growing up?
Honestly, I'm going to say my favorite sport was basketball growing up. I think my brother played for the longest time, and so I think that, you know, with that, I think that he always, you know, emphasized basketball a lot more. I would say my favorite player, I have to say, definitely was Kobe Bryant growing up. So, you know, I think he was a great athlete. So I think that was a guy who I always looked to for, you know, just with his work ethic and, you know, knowing, you know, that he was the best and just the determination he had. So
I'm sure that was a tough day when you heard the news of his passing. What were your reactions when you heard Kobe Bryant suddenly passed away?
Oh, wow. When I first saw it, you know, I didn't believe it. A lot of friends, like, had texted me because they know he's my favorite basketball player, like, ever. A lot of friends texted me, and they were like, oh, did you hear about this? And I was like, no way, that's true. I thought it was just, like, another, you know, another, like, something that got leaked out and just wasn't, you know, accurate at all. But when I found out it was true, I was really sad about it. You know, I didn't want to believe it, but at the same time, you know, he was great, you know, for the sport and for the time. He taught people a lot, but it was sad to see, though.
Tell me about the relationship with your brother and how that helped you throughout your athletic career.
He's definitely, you know, like, one of my biggest mentors, I would say. He's, like, one of my best friends as a whole. I think we're very close. We're not the closest in age. Like, he's probably about maybe 10 years older than me. But I think, you know, with him being my oldest brother, I was able to see how I was able to see, like, his worth ethic in sports and how he did things and how he always wanted me to be better than he was. And so I think that always just pushed me to be the best I could be.
So when did you transfer to Hilton Head Christian Academy, and what were the biggest factors that went into the decision?
I transferred my eighth grade year into HHCA, and I think my parents, you know, just wanted a change for me, just as far as my future and academic wise. So I think that was the only, you know, the only factors that really determined that. But
well, let's flash forward to your senior year at Hilton the Christian Academy. You really broke through this football season. What was the goal for you as a player going into 2019? How do you evaluate yourself this season?
I mean, I think every year coming in, your goal is to get better. I think your goal in the sport should always be to win a state championship, and I think that was our biggest goal. I think my biggest goal was also to win a state championship, with it being my senior year, not having won before. And so I think just coming in with that mindset of we have to, you know, work harder than other teams, I think we came in with that mindset. And I got hurt my first game, so that was kind of a setback for me. But I came back at the end of the season, did great things for our team in the state championship game. And I think, you know, just having that, just me being able to know that, you know, things were going to be okay and put that in God's hands, I think that it really helped me a lot with, you know, just staying positive and motivated throughout my season, even though I couldn't play in every single game. But my team, they did hold on the fort, and they did a great job without me. So.
Well, let's talk about your playoff run this year. And you all looked in trouble against Florence Christian at home in the semifinals. You're down a couple scores, and then you all rattled off 35 straight points. What was that experience like, and how did you guys come together, especially after halftime, to snatch that ticket to the state title game?
Honestly, I think, you know, that was by far the craziest football game I've ever played in my life. I think, you know, just us being down maybe by like 3 or 4 touchdowns going into halftime, we kind of went, you know, in our locker room, and the coaches were just like, you know, it's on us, guys. Like, you know, they knew that we had been playing great all season. Like, no team could play with us all season. And so basically they knew, you know, like, we can come back from this. We faced much worse before. And just then the coach were like, it's in our hands. And the seniors, you know, they kind of stepped up, and the seniors kind of just talked to younger guys and were like, we got this, guys. And so we went back out there. We scored right away. The fans went crazy. And after that, we got some stops. Our defense did a great job of stopping their offense. And from that, we just rallied on. And it was crazy, honestly.
So that got you a spot in the championship game in Columbia. You took on Trinity Burns, and I think you may have saved your best game for last in that state title game. 6 catches for 170 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, of course, the outcome, unfortunate, losing in overtime, that was just an insane game. But were you expecting that kind of a performance from yourself carrying the squad on the receiving end?
I mean, honestly, I'm going to have to go with a no on that one. You know, like, I thought I would be involved, but, you know, just coming back, you know, I had maybe played 1 or 2 games before then, I would say, maybe 2, that, you know, I actually played in, like, the full games. And so I think we're just coming back. That was my first game that, like, you know, like, I knew I was going to be involved in. And it was being the state championship game. I told myself, you know, like, it's my last year. I want to go out, you know, win this thing for younger guys, win this thing for all the seniors. And I think that, you know, I just had a great game, obviously. But I think we played, you know, even though we lost, we played as a great, you know, we played as a team. I think there was nothing we could hold our heads down at the end of the game, you know. So I think that we went out knowing that we played our best, and that was a great team we played. So.
Well, you guys certainly did play your best in that championship game. And also, what makes your stat line and your team's performance even more impressive was that you caught those balls in the pouring rain. So before this game, we were all saying that you guys had no chance. It was going to be a blowout because Hilton and Christian Academy relies on the pass. And when you have wet conditions, it's going to be harder to throw, and it favors the run game. And so for you guys being able to have success throwing the football, and rumors had that you prepared with using wet balls before the game. First of all, was that true? And how else did you decide to prepare to face this Trinity Burns team?
You know, like you said, I think that's what made us play even harder, knowing that, you know, people in the stats, I guess, were kind of saying that we had no chance of winning the game because of, you know, we're a passing team. That's all we did all season, really. And with it being rain, you know, it's not easy to throw the ball, and we weren't able to stop them on defense. I mean, But, you know, I think that just motivated us even more. And throughout the week, I think we just kind of – we prepared for rain, you know, like you said. We did practice with the wet balls. And so we were really adapted to that by the time the game came, and it was like another day of practice, you know.
So let's turn to basketball season. And then one of your favorite moments happened senior year. I was there for it. You scored your 1,000th career point on the three-pointer. How awesome was it, especially doing it at home in front of a packed student section?
That was a great experience also. You know, just being in that moment, it felt, you know, surreal. Like, felt like it was a dream come true. I feel like it's not, you know, getting 1,000 points, I'm not going to say, like, it was something that, you know, I was like, oh, this is my goal, you know. But just have done it, you know, because I play to be, you know, I play to be one of the best. I play to work my hardest. And I think that accomplishing that goal is a goal that a lot of people don't get to accomplish ever in life. And so just having done that with being at home, I think that the crowd was great that night. And they all knew, like all the student section knew, all the parents knew that I was close to 1,000. So everyone just came out for that game. And it was one of the best feelings I ever had.
How awesome. You were the man that really stepped up in the basketball team the last few years. And how have you grown as a player to embrace your role as the go-to scorer?
I would say I've just grown to realize, you know, that with being the go-to scorer, that, you know, you also can make others around you, you know, much better. With me being the go-to scorer, a lot of teams would know that, you know. And so they do things defensively that they know, like if I get, you know, I'm taking out the game, then the team is rattled. But I think my biggest thing that I've learned is that even with teams trying to take me out the game, basically, you know, I can drive or just find open teammates, you know, for easy buckets. We can get out and run and just find ways where even when they're trying to do that, you know, our team can still benefit and play well.
So looking ahead, what are your plans for college, and are you planning to keep your athletic career going to the next level?
Actually, I'm not, you know, too sure yet if I'm going to keep it going. I know that I decided recently that I'd be going to Furman University to major in health science, and so that's my main focus right now. I'm going on the pre-med track, and so I'm looking to become a doctor one day, and so I think that's my biggest goal right now. But, you know, if sports find a way to make it, you know, in my 4 years of college, then it might, you know. But as of right now, I'm still kind of looking into things. And, you know, like I said, I'm focused on the college aspect a little more right now, but we'll see.
Good for you. That's excellent. So how did playing three different sports, football, basketball, baseball, help you as an all-around athlete during your time at Christian Academy?
It helped tremendously, honestly. I think a lot of basketball players, you know, I feel like, you know, really focus on basketball more than anything. Like, if you play basketball, most basketball players, you know, tend to focus on that one sport, or most football players tend to focus on one sport, or most baseball focus on one sport. But I think with me playing all three, I think I was always ready for basketball because of football. Like, as far as athletically and as far as, like, being in shape-wise, I think just being just playing football and, you know, focusing on football during the summertime, I think that helped me tremendously because I was on the waves, you know, I was in shape, I was running. And so by the time basketball came, I think I was just miles ahead of, you know, most people who didn't play a football, or most guys who, you know, were just basketball guys but weren't in the best of shape quite yet. I think I was just, you know, like I said, miles ahead of those guys.
Well, finally, Floyd, unfortunately for you and many others, senior spring sports recently canceled and for the rest of the season. So now that your Christian Academy career is over, what will you look back on most as a member of the Eagles?
I would have to say just the friendships that I've grown, you know, the people I've met, the close relationships, like, with the coaching staffs. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I want to look on and miss the most. All the coaches are like family to me. All the players are like my brothers. And so I'm just going to miss all those guys as a whole, all the laughs, all the memories. But I'm looking forward to move on, you know, and transition to a new part of life.
Well, Floyd, thank you so much for coming on today. Congratulations on all your success at Hilton Head Christian Academy, and I wish you the best of luck on whatever you do next.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Great job, Wes. I'm a huge Floyd Hargrove fan from going way back. He's just an awesome kid. You know, I spoke earlier about the kids that you really enjoy getting to know them, and he definitely fits the bill. You know, been covering him for 3 years since I started Loco Sports, and gotten to know him a good bit, and just a very humble and polite and just an awesome kid, and a fantastic athlete to boot. I mean, great contributor in three sports. Was really probably the best player on that football team for a couple really lean years, and you know, then kind of got overtaken by some other guys, and the injury that you mentioned kind of pushed him to the fringes a little bit, but still a contributor in the playoffs in the state championship game, and then obviously the leader on that basketball team, and was poised for a big baseball scene as well before things got shut down. So great to hear from Floyd. We certainly wish him well in everything he does in the future, and let's shift gears a little bit. And I think Carlo, you caught up with Dean Seelbach this week, right?
Yeah, I did. Dean Seelbach, that's a student athlete that I've covered a lot playing basketball, but funny enough, I hadn't really covered him too much in his main sport of baseball, but I've heard really good things. I know you and Wes told me that, he's one of the better players in the area, and I think I did cover him last year when they played Buford, but that's it. So I was like, you know what, this would be a good one for me to catch up with and try and learn a little bit about, and he's pretty cool. So he, as you're going to find out, he's already committed to Columbia International University to play ball there, and that's pretty cool for me. That's an NAIA school. Obviously, when I was at USCB commentating the NAIA games, Justin, you can attest to this as well. We've seen Columbia International University come through, and we've seen the teams that he's going to be playing. So I just thought that was a really cool element of it. But another element that some people may not realize is Dean's dad, Chris, is actually a former pitcher in the major leagues, played for the Atlanta Braves. So Dean's main goal is trying to make it Major League Baseball. That's what he wants to do. So I thought it was pretty cool to ask him and find out in which ways his dad helps him. And because essentially when he leaves the field, he's coming home to another coach. Baseball's always in his life. There's no getting away around it. So I just want to see like how that does, how that affects him mentally, and just how he gets through that.
All right. Well, let's hear from Dean Seelbach, Hilton Head High School athlete headed to Columbia International University to play baseball, here on the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast.
Hey, it's Carla Peruzza, and today I am with Hilton Head Island High School baseball standout and senior Dean Seelbach. Dean, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You know, just huddled up at the house, not really trying to leave. Just living that quarantine life, I guess you could say.
Same here, except I'm throwing a little bit, you know, everything. Just working out as much as I can.
Absolutely. So now you've had some time. I guess probably to reflect and just think about the fact that you've lost your senior baseball season over now. What's going through your head? How have you reacted? And just what do you think of the whole situation of losing your senior season?
Well, I don't even know if I've really like digested it still. It's such a weird situation and probably will never happen again. Never has happened. And it just kind of sucks, man, because this is the best team we've had since my freshman year, and we were looking to do really well, go really far, and I was going to be able to pitch, you know, in the playoffs, hopefully deep in the playoffs, which would have been fun. But
and now, what do you think you're going to miss the most about playing ball and being with your Hilton Head boys?
Oh, definitely the teammates and the camaraderie, as well as my coaches. Love my coaches. And also competing, you know, in the playoffs and region play, pitching against, you know, the best players in the state. It's what I love to do, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, going forward, it looks like you've recently just signed with a school. Can you talk about, tell us where you're going to play college ball at?
Yes, sir. I signed at Columbia International University. Coach Johnson recruited me, and I had another offer to walk on to UT Martin, and I had a couple other schools looking at me, but since this whole coronavirus thing, I thought it was best to go with Coach Johnson and CIU, because I've been there, I've seen it, it looks great. I love the campus and the dorms, and I love, and they have a really good team for NAIA. I think it's a great fit. Coach Johnson's ex-big leaguer, fished in big leagues a while, and he'll be able to teach me a lot.
Speaking of ex-big leaguers, your dad, an ex-big leaguer, in which ways has he really helped you in your baseball career? And do you kind of look at him as a motivation to try and do well, play at the next level, and maybe go pro yourself?
Oh, definitely. He's the reason why I even play baseball, honestly. He's taught me so much about the mental part of baseball and how, you know, next pitch. If you give up a double and then next, just focus on the next pitch, that it doesn't matter. So he's helped me, obviously, with my mechanics and helped me throw harder and throw more strikes and everything. So, yeah. Obviously, driving me around and travel ball and stuff.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the fact that, you know, baseball is pretty much in your family? It's pretty much who you are. You know, most people, when they leave the baseball field, when they leave their coaches, they're not really going home to baseball coaches. For you, is it a kind of overwhelming a little bit that baseball's such involved in your life, or is that something you just love?
Not really, because I don't know. I've grown up with him as my dad, and I've never thought of it. You know, I never really put it into perspective until like recent years of how like hard it is to be in the big leagues and how my dad was able to do it. I just thought it was like, I don't know, he's just a normal dude, you know. So, but no, I mean, there's no pressure on me. My mom was a college athlete. She played soccer at Arkansas. So I don't know, there's a lot of, I guess, sports in my blood. And
now going forward in college, what have you decided to take? Have you picked a major or anything that you're going to be studying in college?
I haven't yet. I'm undecided right now, but I'm looking into maybe like a sports management or a business type major.
Now, for next season and then just in college, what is your mindset? What is the mindset you want to go in there with?
To really get better and develop and throw harder and learn as much as I can from my teammates and my coaches, help me get to the next level and, you know, get my body in the best shape it can be, put on a decent amount of weight. That's my focus.
Now, during this coronavirus, what have you been doing to keep active and getting ready for next year?
Well, I was lucky enough to have my parents buy me a barbell and some weights and we have a little setup in the garage, so I've been able to work out a good bit. And then, as well as I've been throwing with my dad every day, and I throw bullpens every 5 days. So, like I would be pitching if I was pitching in a season. So, staying ready.
Now, what advice would you give to other athletes in the loco of staying active and not let themselves go during this quarantine?
I mean, it's hard to stay focused because everything is going on, but you just got to do something every day, you know, whether it's lifting, whatever sport it is, hitting, shooting, hoops, all of that. Just stay active every day, do something every day, keep your body in shape, and be ready for whenever all this stuff is over.
Now, last question for you, Dean. What is the end goal? What is it that you want to achieve with your baseball career here? Are you thinking of playing ball after college?
Oh, definitely, yeah. My goal is to play professional baseball, hopefully make it all the way to the big leagues, just like my dad did. And that's cliche, but that's my goal, get all the way to the bigs.
And now, right now, do you have kind of like a checklist of things you need to do or a focus or a mentality that you think you need to have in order to maybe accomplish that dream?
Yes, sir. I mean, my mentality is get better every day and I guess focus on, you know, go day by day and just get better each day, like I said, and everything else will take care of itself.
Awesome, Dean. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, man. We at Loco Sports wish you nothing but the best of luck going forward, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Carlo. You know, obviously disappointing for Dean to lose his senior season, but great that he's going to get the opportunity to play at CIU. Another fun little connection there is that former USCB athletic director Kim Abbott, she was the original AD at USCB, is the assistant athletic director and senior women's administrator at CIU. So it'll be a little bit of a low country connection there. And I know that they were recently added, approved for NAIA membership. So they're competing in the Appalachian Athletic Conference now. Solid league, quite a few good baseball teams in there. I think that's a great level for Dean. I think he's got a chance to really succeed there. And hopefully it's a good fit for him academically. And he excels there and goes on to do great things after college. So congratulations to Dean. Nice job with that interview, Carlo. And moving to our last interview for the week, you guys caught up with the twin duo, Emma and Olivia. How'd you guys pull off a what were the logistics of interviewing twins? Were there any sibling rivalries going on?
Well, what we did is we just had some questions for Emma, some questions for Olivia, and then some questions that they both could respond to. And they're two outstanding athletes, and they grew up together, pushed each other to be better. Emma, a star runner who earned All-State honors in cross country, had a nice time of 1944 at the state meet this fall and finished eighth in the state. But she really shines in track, captured the 800-meter title last spring and finished second in the 1600. And not to mention, she was an All-Stater as well in basketball this year. And in my opinion, was the most valuable piece in that squad who went on that fabulous run to the 3A Final Four. And now she said she started running in honor of one of her best friends. And this is a cool story. Grace Sulik, who you will remember, who was killed in a car crash in May of 2016. And in her first meet she ran was the Bobcat Scorcher that fall. And her time in that race also happened to be Sulik's personal best.
Wow.
And so talk about fate coming in right there. That's just amazing. Olivia, a basketball soccer player and had a phenomenal season shooting the three. And that helped the Sharks to their amazing playoff run. And she also did as a soccer player on their way to the Final Eight in 2019. And makes it all the more remarkable. She had to battle back from an ACL tear sophomore season. And she also did a bunch of great work with special needs children all over the community. She helped those kids participate in athletic events. And that was a great thing to catch up with her about. And these two were competitors since they were young. And they still compete to this day. And during this quarantine period, they have a competition within the family to log the most miles running and walking. So a cool kind of activity to keep them motivated and keep fit during this isolation period. And so it'll be a new beginning. And as soon as they go their separate ways, Emma going to Georgia Southern to run and Olivia to the College of Charleston. So we talked about their careers as a Shark, their favorite moments together, and what's next. After they leave the Lowcountry, here are Emma and Olivia Peluso on the Loco Lowdown podcast. All right, I'm now joined by May River Stars Emma and Olivia Peluso. Thank you both for coming on today, and how are y'all doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
We're good.
Awesome. We'll start with Emma, and I wanted to talk to you about your cross-country and track career. First, on what sparked your interest for running and what you enjoy the most about it?
So I started running in 2016 when my friend passed, Grace Sulak passed away. So I run in her honor and legacy, really. And honestly, I just love running and how it makes me feel in the atmosphere.
That's great. Yeah. And of course, May 7th, the day that Grace Sulak passed away, coming up on the 4-year anniversary, both of you, what has Grace meant to you throughout the years, especially after she passed away through your high school career? For both of you, what has Grace meant to you?
Grace is just a person in my life that has really helped me push myself to be better and kind of bring her personality throughout my actions in life. So she helps me be kind and generous and really just everything that she was.
And I agree with Emma. Grace just motivates me to be not only a better athlete, but also just a better person, you know, get involved in the community like I knew she would be doing. And just try and follow those traits like of kindness and compassion that she had and just follow those out throughout her legacy.
Emma, going back to your running career,
What was your breakthrough race, breakthrough moment when you knew you thought you had a talent for the sport?
So freshman year, my first race was at the Bobcat Scorcher for Grace, and I ran a 20:54, which was her PR before she passed away. So I just knew, like, at that moment that it was something I really needed to pursue, because I was getting signs from Grace and just other people in the community that I had a talent that I needed to work towards.
That was meant to be. What has been your most challenging experience through your many seasons of cross country and track?
Probably the most challenging is to stay healthy. I haven't had many injuries personally myself, but I know that running definitely takes a toll on you. And just really listen to your body, I say, is my best advice. Because in the end, like, you truly, really only know how you feel.
How awesome was it for you to earn a double All-State this school year for both cross country and basketball?
It was awesome. I felt really really grateful for getting the opportunity to do that. I wish I had track season so I could maybe secure another one, but I'm really grateful for the two that I had.
So you chose to commit to the Georgia Southern Eagles, and what were the biggest reasons that you decided to continue your academic and athletic career at Georgia Southern?
At Georgia Southern, I just felt like it was the best path for me. I really loved the dynamic and atmosphere at Georgia Southern, and it was just, I really felt at home when I visited there and met with the team and the coaches, and I could really just see myself flourishing there.
What are your goals by the time you finish at GSU?
My goals are definitely to be able to break 18 in the 5K, which I think I will be able to do eventually. And also, I just really want to be able to see how far I can push myself, really. I definitely think I have a lot more to give, so I want to see what else I can do.
What will hurt the most from losing this track season?
Really just spending time, the last time I can with my teammates, just the last season. Basketball was really tough, leaving everyone, knowing that it was my last season, and as well as cross country. So track season would have just been like that last time I can have with all my friends and my coaches to just end my high school career.
And wrapping up, I know you're a great student as well. What are you majoring in at Georgia Southern, and what career goals do you have after college?
At Georgia Southern, I'm majoring in biology, and I'm going to be in the honors program there as well. My end goal is to go on to med school to become a dermatologist.
Excellent. That is awesome. Let's go over to Olivia Peluso. And Olivia, let's start with, how long have you played basketball and soccer, and what have you liked the best about the sports?
So I started playing basketball when I was in first grade, so I was around like 6 or 7. And I started playing soccer actually a little before that, when I was like 4 or 5, just through like a rec league in my community where we're from in New Jersey. And they've just taught me so many life lessons throughout the time of me playing, just like discipline and time management and being able to create relationships and working hard to, you know, meet a goal at the end.
What would you say are your biggest accomplishments of your soccer career?
Well, my freshman year, and my junior year, I was named, region player. And so that's definitely one of my bigger accomplishments. And then last year during May River, we went to the third round of playoffs. So that was a big accomplishment for our team as well.
What will you miss about losing this final season with the girls this spring?
I'll definitely miss the team the most and our coaches. I've been on the team all 4 years. Sophomore year, I tore my ACL during basketball season, so I missed it. But I still like had that relationship with my teammates. So I'm definitely going to miss that. And I'm definitely just going to miss being out on the field and being able to play with the girls that I've been playing with for the past 4 years.
I want to turn to your shooting ability on the basketball court, which we saw several times this year. How have you developed that three-point shot that was so key for your team doing so well this year?
I throughout the years, I've spent a lot of time just like in the gym working on form shooting,
you know, just getting that form down, being able to have the consistency in order to make a shot just on the weekends or even like after practices, I'd go to like the rec center and play. And a lot of my coaches have helped me throughout the years with that as well.
And what are your college plans next year and what will you be studying?
I plan to go to college at Charleston to major in secondary education to become a high school math teacher.
Excellent. And Olivia, I know you've done some great things for some special needs kids in the community this year. Can you elaborate on what events you've done with them?
Yeah. So my sophomore year, I became a part of a club called Best Buddies in my school, which essentially I'm paired up with a student in a special education class, and we hang out outside of school and we go to different events. And so I also work at the Island Rec Center as a camp counselor for special needs. So I hang out with a lot of kids with special needs over the summer as well. And over this year, I took a class called Unified PE, my fall semester of my senior year. And they were lacking adaptable equipment for the class. So I got together with my teacher and we searched through different opportunities to get money or maybe raise money. And the state South Carolina Special Olympics heard about it and helped us set up an account for a fundraiser. And I was able to raise just over like $3,500 for the school in order to get the adaptable equipment that was needed for the class.
Outstanding. Just a few more questions I have for both of you. And I want to look back on this incredible run you had in basketball, going all the way to the lower state final, and your favorite moments of that playoff run.
My favorite moment would probably just be like seeing all of us girls and our coaches gain so much confidence in ourselves. We really just kind of put it all out there on the line. And when we put it out there, it came with good outcomes. So we were just like super excited to see how far we can go. So my favorite moment would definitely be beating Dillon in the second round of playoffs at home, because we lost them in the third round junior year. So we were able to beat them to advance to the third round this year. And that game was kind of the first game where we had a really large, engaging crowd. And the atmosphere was so amazing and just felt so great to be able to win that game after we had fought so hard during the game. There was like 15 lead changes. So it was super rewarding just to be able to celebrate that with my team after the game and like the locker room and everything.
So those seniors on the team developed such an amazing bond. And how did that help you on your way to the Final Four? And how did that bond keep pushing each other both in practice and games?
Yeah. So the seniors, you know, we've been together, most of us, since freshman or sophomore year. So we've been playing together for a while. And we just have an amazing bond, but not only just the seniors, but we also took a lot of the underclassmen under our wing too. And our team just became like one big happy family. And it was so amazing. We had team dinners before playoff games that were so much fun. And it was just a great positive atmosphere. And all the girls just had so much love for each other that helped us. So we had chemistry off the court that helped us win on the court.
I agree with Olivia. It was just a lot of chemistry, and I think we had a lot of trust in each other and we knew we had each other's backs. So it was even easier to go out in the court and just work together.
So during this time of isolation and social distancing, what things have you done in order to keep in shape after you lose the spring of organized sports?
So I've just been continuing running and having a running plan, just trying to keep in shape and build up my miles now that track season's over. Trying to focus on cross country. So just running every day and doing workouts to just, one, keep physically in shape, but also mentally too, because it's kind of tough just to be quarantined inside. So it's nice to go outside and get a run in.
Yeah. I've been like running, and our family has an April mile challenge going. So we're all competing to see who can like run or walk the most miles. So that's been kind of motivating to like stay in shape and go run, since we're all so competitive and we want to win. So it's been really like, we kind of make working out more of a fun thing than it's like a, so it's like not a burden to our, for us to do.
That is awesome. I want to know about the relationship that you two have had throughout the years and what you will miss from being together here at May River High School and in the Lowcountry.
Yeah, we've literally been together for forever. So it's going to be definitely so weird going off to college and not having Emma right by my side. But I've really enjoyed like playing sports with Emma, especially basketball the last 4 years at May River. And just like being able to have someone in my life that I can like rely on no matter what, just like having a built-in best friend. So it's definitely going to be really weird going to college, like separate colleges, but we'll definitely be visiting each other, and I'll definitely make it a point to go watch her run and see how well she's going to do at Georgia Southern.
Basically, like at May River, people always say the Peluso twins, so we're always a package deal. So it's definitely going to be different in college when it's just us separate, but even though we're not in the same place, we're definitely still going to be the same people and have the same bond that we have. She's basically my built-in best friend too, so.
Well, wrapping this up, you all went to May River, started at May River right when this school started, and what do you believe you will leave behind and remember at this special place here in Bluffton, South Carolina?
I guess I hope people just like remember me not only as like an athlete at May River, but someone who like was able to advocate for others and just like hopefully someone who they can look up to, like maybe juniors coming in the senior class or people going to May River, like that they can look up to and maybe in hopes that they'll be able to, you know, do similar things that I was able to do for the school. But a lot of people do such amazing things at May River, so I think a lot of people would be remembered there for who they were.
I go off of Olivia with that. I don't want to be remembered just for my athletics, too, but also for my academics. You shouldn't just focus on athletics, I think, personally. I think academics is a big part of it, too, so I want people to realize that, like, academics and athletics are both equally important, and that with them both, you can do great things.
Well, thank you both for joining us today, and best of luck as you move on to the next chapter.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. I really didn't get to know the Peluso girls until this season, but I have really enjoyed getting to know them a little bit and getting to know their family. Just a phenomenal family, and obviously two great athletes and two great student athletes, more importantly. So really glad to see that they're going to go on, you know, to their separate colleges and, you know, the ones that fit best for them, and go off and kind of make their own identities now. That's going to be neat for them. My wife is a twin, so I definitely relate to the whole twin thing, and it's probably for the best that they're going to split up for now. It may be that in a year that one of them's looking to transfer where the other one is. We'll see how that goes, but you know how twins are. It's tough to split them up. But awesome interviews this week, guys. Fantastic to hear from some of those senior student athletes and, you know, give them a chance to reflect on their careers and give our readers a chance to get to know them a little bit better on a personal level. So great stuff. I'm still watching Taiwanese baseball. I haven't been quite as dedicated lately, but I don't know if you saw, Wes, but your guy Manny Ramirez is exploring a comeback in the CPBL.
Yes.
So that could be pretty awesome. We've got in about a week, next week, we're going to have the Korean League starting up, the KBO, which is a little bit higher caliber, maybe more like a AAA level. That could be exciting. And then I don't know if you guys saw, but the Savannah Bananas announced yesterday that they have been given the blessing of Mayor Van Johnson in Savannah to begin their season on July 1st with crowds at half capacity.
Awesome.
Now, of course, that is contingent on the stats being good at that time.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be very important to watch what happens with the stats over the next couple of weeks with Georgia beginning to reopen some businesses and things like that. We'll see if that causes an outbreak. Hopefully it does not. And we can stay on the track that we've been on. And on July 1st, we can well, you won't be able to get a ticket. It's going to be a real hot ticket for the Bananas game this year. But if you can find yourself a ticket, you may be able to get out and see a little live baseball and entertainment in Savannah this summer. So that's a little light at the end of the tunnel for you for this week. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to do the responsible things here for a few more weeks and get this thing under control and have a normal or somewhat normal summer and fall when we can get back to some sporting activity. So That's what we'll look forward to until next time, at least. Thanks for being a part of this edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. Until next time, go Loco.